is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, I'm sure Nico Medved is very happy after the news on Friday. Joining us now from CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, I don't have to ask you anymore, man. We know what Isaiah Stevens is doing. He's going to be back next year with Colorado State.
Yeah, don't you feel better? You don't have to ask me that question.
I do. So much relief. Now I can think of other questions to ask, but I'm going to have to get creative.
Well, you're going to have to figure out other people you're going to ask about, I guess.
Is there anybody I should be worried about?
Down the road about somebody else.
Yeah. Is there anybody I should be worried about right now?
Not right now, because we haven't even played a game yet.
Okay, there's
no. You
got
to wait till you really get to an end of the season.
Okay. Yeah. Torrey Horton, any of those guys? None of, nothing like that?
I would wait till they play this year, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just jumping the gun there.
Yeah. I'll see. I'll figure something out to stress about.
I know you will.
Yeah.
I have complete faith in you.
I'll be there. Don't worry. Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, so Mike, This is huge for so many reasons. I loved what, and again, we'll see what happens on the floor next year with these new additions, but guys like Neek Clifford, Javonte Johnson, and Joel Scott, we'll see how that works out. You add, it's almost like a bonus. You're getting Isaiah Stevens back. There was probably doubt. I don't know how sure the coaching staff was that he was going to come back, but now this looks like this roster could be back to March Madness, back to dancing next season.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I think there is some optimism with everybody that they've added and those that are returned, especially starting off with Isaiah. I mean, you bring back the best point guard in the Mountain West, one of the best point guards in the nation, somebody who knows that system, a very calm presence on the floor, somebody who can guide, a definite floor general that can get everybody in line. And they'll have some time this summer to work together and start getting some of those nuances back. And then, you know, you talk about all the, you know, the three main guys that you brought in through transfers, but everybody kind of forgets you're bringing back one already, and Josiah Strong.
Sure.
Somebody you never got to see play last year, and they're really excited about. And, you know, like I saw him in the gym. He was working out before classes were done, and the kid was just happy. He was just excited to be healthy and be ready to play again, and he's loving life. So I think there's a guy right there who could be a really big pleasant surprise because he's got so much to play for. I mean, he missed an entire year that he wasn't expecting to, so he's excited to get this back.
Well, and it was that. Obviously, we didn't really get the full scale of what he could do for this team. We barely got to see him. Isaiah Stevens was hurt to start the season. You're already, maybe physically, mentally, whatever, you're already trying to prepare for life without David Roddy. There was just clunkiness, I guess, to the start of the season last year, and hopefully, barring any injuries, you won't have any of that to start next season.
Yes, not only that, but look at all the injuries that you had throughout the year. They lost more games to injury last year than Nico's ever had in a single season in his career. Matter of fact, they lost more games in last season than he'd had the previous time at Colorado State, all in one season. So the one thing you hope for is health and continuity, because that allows a team to build. There's not a shifting of lineups from week to week and game to game and having to alter, you know, how you can go ahead and attack and who you can play. You can get that solid rotation that you find, whether it's from 7 to 10 players, and go with it, and you get a system, and guys are comfortable with their roles, and that allows them to play freely.
Mike Brohard joining me from CSURams.com. So you mentioned it, the optimism surrounding the decision with Isaiah Stevens, and then you factor in all the additions, the guys coming back from injury and whatnot. Is it really like the real optimism surrounding that campus, Mike? Is it like, yeah, we believe we're going dancing next year? Is that how high it's getting?
Yeah, I think it's going to start approaching that. Now that you've got everything in place, because up until then, you start playing the what-if game. What if Isaiah comes back? What if Isaiah doesn't come back? Now you've got that. You can really start answering questions. The coaching staff can sit down and really start drawing up a plan. They can have some pretty focused workouts with some things that are going on the summer when the players are on campus. And you know, they get a chance to get a feel for each other and what each other's games are and how they fit into the equation, the different matchups that they can use. you start to get that optimism that this is a team that feels that they can make some noise next year. Yeah,
Mike, when do you think, or maybe you knew, when did the coaches know? Was this a photo finish thing? Were they going back and forth wondering, okay, what's Isaiah going to be told? Is he going to get to the NBA Combine? Or did they kind of have an idea maybe the last week or so, or maybe the last month or so, that he was going to return?
I don't think they knew for sure until maybe about 2 days before the announcement was made.
Okay.
Isaiah had called and said, I think he called and said, I'm pretty sure I'm coming back. I am coming back. Let me get just another day to work some things out. And then, of course, you know, we helped him make his announcement. So you kind of plan some of that stuff out. So matter of fact, yeah, you're right. Nico's really happy because he was one in Disney World. He was in the happiest place on earth, right? So he got the happiest news that he could get all summer right before he was going to Disney World with his family. So, yeah, he was pretty happy.
Yeah, that's kind of the double whammy right there, man. I mean, Disney, Isaiah Stevens coming back. I mean, yeah. Nico Medved is not losing in life right now.
No, and I'm going to say, I don't know if you've ever taken kids to Disney World.
No.
But, you know, it's a very magical time. But I'm going to jump out on a limb and say that news was better to him than say if they had dinner with Cinderella at her castle.
I can imagine it'd be. I've actually never been. I've never been, Mike. What am I missing?
A bunch of long lines, screaming kids.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, it is fun. I mean, we took our daughters when, God, the youngest one just graduated this weekend. And if I look back, they were 5 and 10 when we went to Disney World. And it was awesome. They thought, you know, they wanted to meet every character that was at the park and take pictures. And yeah, they had a great time.
All right. Well, we'll put it on. I know my wife's been, but I didn't travel. I didn't do any. We went to games all the time. We never went anywhere when I was a kid. So I'm pumped about this. This is going to be exciting. And, you know, again, here's one of the narratives we can start up. When CSU is back into the big dance, then we can restart that conversation, Mike, of is Nico Medved going to stick around? There it is. All right. We could start that when they get back into it, because I think they're going to be amazing next year.
Okay. That's good. At least you've got a plan to play. You've got a playbook that you've got to go with, and that's fine. So let's address that. What? We're going to say February?
I may start it a little sooner. You know how I get. Might get a little.
If they come out of the gates 20-0, then yeah. I'm pretty sure you'll start that conversation.
They might never lose again. To be honest, I'm that confident in this team. I mean, they're going to be maybe never going to lose. Who knows?
I really want to know where the Brady hole I know went, because he's the doom and gloom.
I'm really excited about this. I was for David Roddy last year, Mike. I was so happy for him. It was really cool. What a great thing for CSU and all the fans throughout the state. But yeah, there was a part of me that's like, man, if he comes back, you could get a shot to go right back into March Madness 2 years in a row. So I was kind of, it was bittersweet, and I'm sure that's how you were. I'm sure that's how a lot of people were. So getting this news on Isaiah is like, okay, we didn't get Roddy to come back last year, but Isaiah's coming back. Here we go.
Yeah, you know, the other part, you bring up both conversations. So each time they've had players take them kind of down to the wire of being able to make decisions and them knowing, and that's stressful for the coaches. The other part of it that I think people forget is, so like with Isaiah, they have to wonder, are we losing our starting point guard? If so, do we need to have a backup plan? By then, all the point guards that you would probably want are gone. And it's very hard to convince a kid to say, why don't you come here? We really want you. You're a point guard. And then that kid's going, yeah, but if Isaiah comes back, I'm riding pine. So you lose out on players. And it was the same thing with David last year. There were guys that were interested in coming to CSU, but they were like, if David comes back, I'm not playing. Why am I going? So you see them go other places. And so that's the hard part that I think people lose focus on for these coaching staffs. You can't have an immediate backup plan if it doesn't go the way that you know, if the player doesn't come back. Those pretty much all those really good options are gone because they've made their decisions. And that's what I think people lose grasp of, is when you have players of caliber of Isaiah and David, and they take this decision down to the wire, it really kind of handcuffs the coaching staff on what they can do.
Yeah, it would be much easier if it was one way or the other, right? It was an obvious, oh, that guy's going pro. It's just a matter of when. Yeah. He's that good. Or, man, he's a good ball player, but he's not quite there. So we know that. But with Isaiah and David, I mean, both, I don't think either one were obviously, they weren't very obvious. There were still people doubting whether Roddy would get drafted at all. So that's what makes it more complicated.
Yeah, I still think one of the neatest things that happened with David last year was very cloak and dagger. There was the industry talk was, we're not sure that he'll even get picked in the first round. But yet, Memphis was really high on him, and they just never told anybody. And so I remember the video, you know, of him getting that phone call, and they're like, we didn't want anybody to know, but this was our plan all along. So, you know, Philadelphia drafts him, Memphis, you know, has them draft him, they make the trade, all this stuff worked out. That's who they wanted. This was a guy. And then, as obviously, as we saw this year, David had a really good rookie year.
Yeah.
So they knew what they wanted and what they were going to do with them, and it worked out really well. And that's the other part of the draft, is some of that cloak and dagger stuff of who people actually want and how they see them. And David, the type of player he was, really made that possible, because he was a very versatile player in college, but he never fit into, you know, that exact peg, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't this, he wasn't that, but he could do everything. How's the team going to use him at the next level?
Well, and that's what's kind of so interesting about it, was with Roddy, it's like you have this really unique guy. So, sure, I can see maybe some of the negatives that teams would say, well, we don't know how to use this guy. But then you can see all the positives. We like unique guys. There's a lot of players that maybe they don't look the conventional part. They look more like tight ends, whatever. We might be able to utilize this guy. That's what's tough with Isaiah Stevens is, Mike, wouldn't you agree? There's a lot of players like Isaiah Stevens, not a lot of players like David Roddy.
Yeah, he's a point guard. This is what he does, and he can shoot, and he can control the floor, and he can handle the ball, and he's very smart. And, yeah, there are guys like that that are out there, and some of them are taller than him, and maybe some of them are a little bit quicker than him, or some of them had more experience. You know, a coach feels like, or an NBA organization feels, hey, I have more experience because he played in the Power Five or things like that. It's all individual in how they see these players. With David, you really needed somebody that could see these things and be creative about it, like Nico was.
Mike, where does Isaiah Stevens rank amongst all-time CSU men's basketball players right now?
You know, that's a really good question, and obviously it's going to change as this year goes on, because he's going to, you know, climb higher up the charts, and he's going to set new different records. He's already got records. He's just going to keep breaking them. Some people are going to look at it and go, yeah, but he did it in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that alter their point of view? But I don't know. I mean, he's easily one of the top 10 players of all time in program history. Wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. No,
easily.
You would be better. You have the deep history though.
Okay.
Is he easily top 10. Is he close to top five?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, you've got to go back to like Bill Green, and you look at Jason Smith and some guys from the past. Bill Green back in the 60s. You got to put him in there, but you know, and you got to put David in there, right? And David is only here for 3 years, so you've got to look at the uniqueness of what he did. I think Isaiah. Yeah, I mean, I think if I really sat down and looked at it, and I haven't done it yet. I would have him, I think, in my top five, if not real close.
Mike, how many times have the Rams been to March Madness, to the tournament?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Gosh, good question. I don't know off the top of my head. So I'm going to be honest about that. But they haven't gone very often.
Well, yeah, so that's kind of why when you're looking at the greatness factor. It'd be interesting to know how many times they went and how many times within a certain player's dynasty or whatever they went. So, like, if they go next year, then Isaiah Stevens would be very responsible for both of those trips. I'd be curious to see where those other guys stack up and how many times they went and within their, you know, 3 to 4 year career.
Right. You'd have to go ahead and look at that. And you'd have to look at some of the guys from, like, Tiny Grant's teams.
Yeah.
Guys that were really good. Guys that played professionally, maybe in Europe, but not in the NBA, that were really good players. It would be interesting discussions. You know, I think it's great, especially because when you start looking at eras, and the game has changed, and you know, the addition of the three ball, things like that. It's It's a different game at times. But, no, I mean, if you look at it and if they go to the dance again next year and you can say, okay, he was your floor general twice when they did it, that's a really good case for him, right? And then I still look at the fact that he started as a true freshman at one of the tougher positions on the floor.
Yeah, well, in numbers-wise, all that stuff, yeah, you could use that five-year deal, but if they're able to go back
but
to...
But then again, he's done so much damage in 4 years, that negates,
true.
I think, some of that five-year discussion.
I think you're right. And if you go dancing next year, obviously he's going to be a big reason for that. I don't know what his... We'll see what his stats look like and everything. But with that, let's say they go dancing next year, his stats are amazing. Is he number one? Can he get to number one? Does he have that room?
I don't know. It depends. If you look at it, if you just limit it to what he did in college and you don't think about
right.
what he does before or after, then I think there's some merit in that kind of talk. We'll see how his year goes. But then people will wonder about – I mean, he's a point guard. He obviously has a great impact on the floor. But people will look at what impact did, like, Jason Smith have as a seven-footer in that era of Colorado State basketball. And then went on and had a really good NBA career. Bill Green, you got to go back. And really, you're talking back in the 60s. It was a different game, but he was a phenomenal player. There's just no doubt about it. And he could do everything. So then you look at the guys that are scoring versus, you know, dishing out assists versus guys that were scorers and rebounders and shot blockers and interior defenders. That's where the debate kind of comes in because you're – in some ways, within the same game, you're comparing apples and oranges, right?
Yeah, there's two things you got to look at. Like you said, you got to look at their college career, and if you want to go beyond that, look at how great of a pro they were. Mike, how good is your aim when it comes to looking at guys like Isaiah Stevens, David Roddy, Nico Carvacho, those guys that were very good in college, but you want to predict whether they're going to be an NBA player or not? Is that an area of expertise for you, Mike? Because I suck at it.
I would not call myself an expert in the realm of basketball and whether or not a guy is going to have a really strong professional career. Because it really, I'm not great at it. So no way am I an expert at picking that. I thought David would be a good pro.
Yeah.
So, I thought Nico had a chance.
I did too. I really thought Carvacho would be in the NBA at this point. So I was. I mean, he's yeah. still a pro and everything, but I felt like he was going to be in the NBA.
Yeah, I didn't know if people looked at his build and his overall game. So I wasn't sure that he was going to be an NBA player. I thought he could. He was one of those guys that could work to that. Like Colton Iverson was another one that
yep.
I kind of put in the same boat. That I wasn't sure. I thought he was like a French kind of guy. But David, I thought, would play in the NBA. I think he actually played better as a rookie this year than I would have thought he did. Played more, played better. So, yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
I would have more luck with, like, football. I feel better about that.
Yeah, Colton Iverson, that was right around the time I was really starting up the show and trying to cover a little bit of what we're obviously talking about now. And I just remember thinking, man, that guy, he's going to be good. He's going to be really good. And obviously it didn't really pan out. But yeah, I'm way off on these. But yeah, I think kind of right about Roddy. I'm with you, though. I didn't think he was going to get – I didn't think he was going to have the rookie season that he had. Mike, my man, what are you working on? Anything in particular we could check out at CSURams.com in the next few days?
Right. I'll get – on some track. I haven't decided. I'll do another track story coming up, but right now I'm just trying to get laundry done after a long trip, you know, to Maine and back. I didn't get back home until about 2 o'clock in the morning last night after a full day of travel, so I'm trying to still remember how to spell my name at this point in time.
Well, luckily it's just Mike, you know, it's not one of the more difficult names.
It's not a stretch, but there are some groggy moments so far today, Brady, I'm going to be honest.
I think a lot of people are feeling that, too, after Memorial Day and everything, but Mike, my man, appreciate you. Well, fun to go there today. We covered a lot of ground, so I appreciate it, my man.
We did, and now we're just going to have to kind of, you know, I'm going to put my bets on the fact that Torrey Horton's going to be your next guy.
My next guy to bring
next
up.
Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just wondering if You know, like if he opens up against Washington State with a 200-yard game,
yep.
Do you start asking the question then?
Yep.
Or do you wait until we start getting into conference play? I'm not sure.
Why wait, Mike? You know, we can have fun with it all year. You know, it'll be a great time, and I know you look forward to answering the same question over and over again.
I do, but I think I've got to come up with a different response than the one I gave you for Isaiah for 3 straight months.
You'll get there. I have faith in you. I know you can do it, my man. Mike, appreciate you. Good luck with the laundry.
All right, take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Could Isaiah Stevens become the GOAT when it comes to Colorado State men's basketball? Maybe. There's a chance. I think you got to go dancing. I think we're going to look at team success. The stats are there, but you're going to use that fifth year. You'll use it, whatever. But team success might be a good barometer of where we're going, of how we're going to measure his career amongst other CSU Rams greats. 12:39 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.